everybody's ready this morning. Would you all stand and let's turn over to 430. 430, victory in Jesus. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Valentine's Day is filled with at least the Lord's love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, and we have some birthdays and anniversaries to celebrate this month. Let's see, Rosalinda has a birthday, and Brother Ed, but he's not here. Let's see. John's is not here. Don, amen. Brother Roger and Sister Loria, 60 years of wedding bliss. Amen. Amen. So how about if we have all the birthday folks stand up if I missed anyone. And we'll sing happy birthday first. Let's sing happy birthday. Rosa.
Stand up.
You got to stand up. Okay. Let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Now, let's sing happy anniversary to Roger and Loria. Amen. Praise God. 60 years.
Amen. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Amen. I just have one announcement to make. I'd like to just praise God and thank you for all your prayers. We had an answered prayer. Cinta had taken a PET scan and CAT scan about a little over a week ago. And we were not supposed to go to the doctor until this coming Tuesday, but the doctor was so excited that he called yesterday, and he said, told Cinta, I got good news. You know, the tumor that was by her liver and lung wasn't there anymore.
Amen.
It wasn't there anymore. So praise God. God is good.
Amen.
He answers our prayers.
Amen.
He just wants us to be obedient to him.
That's it.
That's all. And the only reason why he wants us to do that is because he loves us. He loves us so much. You know, you can imagine how we love our children. Yeah. We love them so much that we'll do anything for them. But God loves us even so much more than that.
Amen.
And, you know, so... You know, we just need to be thankful and go to him in prayer.
Amen.
And he's just so good to us.
Amen.
So I just want to thank everybody for their prayers. You know, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but all we can do is hold on to what we have today.
Amen.
And the Lord is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I think we have a scripture reading this morning, and we'll have that scripture reading right now. Amen.
I'll be reading from Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salomon, had bought some sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He has risen, and he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and was amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept, and that when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and unbated them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth, the Lord with them, working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And read Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 20.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing, turn over to number 440. Number 440. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, precious.
Would you all rise and turn over to 383? And if we could have a couple ushers come for our offering after the song, appreciate it. Amen. That's good.
Today, just build and continue to work for a new preacher, Lord. We just ask that I return this into your hands. Lord, we thank you so much for the many blessings that you bestow on us. I thank you today for my wife, who was very instrumental in getting me to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Yes.
Lord, I thank so much again for this church that you've given us that preaches and teaches your word without compromise.
Yes.
We pray for our speaker today, Lord, that you will bless him. That we bring the Holy Spirit to deliver the word that you want him to deliver to us. Again, we think of our missionaries, Lord. Continue to support them, be with them, protect them. And again, thank you, Lord, so much for this offering, Lord, that we can only use to further the gospel here at our church, but throughout the world where our missionaries preach. Thank you so much for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, as we as Christians, you know, our walk is not as sure as it always should be. Sometimes we stumble and fall. But you know what? If you're born again this morning, if Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, then you don't have to worry about it. Because when you fall, his everlasting long arm will uphold you, please. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. Now when my fiery trials, the earthly rocks are all cut away, still underneath you are the everlasting arms. Under
Sunday school this morning, you missed a blessing.
Amen.
Hey, brother Pooler, he said that if this was the only time he was going to get to speak to us, God gave him so much, he just started preaching. It was so good. It was good. Amen. But he's going to preach for us this morning. There's only one problem. Roger probably liked this. is that he's a retired Marine. That's the only problem. Other than that, amen. No, I'm just kidding. Brother Pooler, would you come in and share with us what the Lord has put on your heart?
Amen. There's no such thing as retired. I will point this way. As I've already said, I'm a drill instructor. So. Please forgive me and indulge me. It's kind of late in the morning, but this is a Baptist church, so if we don't go at least 15 minutes over, I know that it's not a Baptist church, right? I mean, and growing up, the first joke as a Baptist preacher that I ever heard from a Baptist preacher, you know what it means when a Baptist preacher takes his watch off? Absolutely nothing. So I'm honored to be here, to be privileged to be here, and I will try not to go long. But if I do start preaching fast, you're going to have to listen fast, because I can get going, and I can slow it down a bit, but I don't usually downshift. I may pause a minute, but I didn't change gears unless it's the next gear up. Well, you know I'm getting ready to upgear, and there's no speeds. So if this is a 6-speed transmission, trust me, I will find 7 gear or 8 gear. So, but I'm really honored to be here. It is a privilege to be here. And when I said that I will come down as often as they need me to, I just love to preach. Brother Rommel asked me he says, how do we do the financial thing? And I said, what about it? I said, that's up to God. When I entered into the ministry to be a pulpit supply preacher to begin with, wherever God leads from there, I said, Lord, you're going to take care of whatever. If I got to go to Nevada and preach, I want to preach. I get to preach. I preached at a church in Hesperia. It was such a blessing. They were such a giving church, and I live there, so it's like 10 minutes from there. And I got in the car, and the guy gave me the envelope. They took a love offering, and I put it in my pocket. I never look at it. He said, we want to take you to lunch. Okay, I got in the car and started the car, and he pulled off. I knew where we were going, so I didn't have to follow him. I thought I'd take a moment just to see. With my wife, it was private. Open that envelope. My wife said, what's the matter? I said, I can't tell you. Look at this. And she, her jaw dropped. And I'm not even going to tell you what they did. But I looked at that man when I got into that restaurant, and I said, I'd have done this for free. Because I get to preach the word of God. And that's what I came here to do. And I hope that God blesses this sermon, this his message, because to you guys, to your hearts, that it can be something that you need. And then if I get to come back, you know, I would gladly come back. And I still haven't finished the book of Ruth yet. We started in the book of Ruth. And they were kind enough to laugh at some of my jokes and stuff, even though I'm not a real funny person except in looks. So if you would, for me, if you're able to, in honor, not for me, but in honor of God's word and reverence, would you stand for the reading in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. My pastor has gotten me to do this, and I mean, they stood all day long for the Word of God in the Old Testament. I think we could stand, if you're able to, for a few verses. In Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 9, and we're going to read to verse 17. Verses 9 to 17 in Colossians chapter 3. The Word of God says this, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it is infallible, inerrant. It is preserved. It is the holy word of God, as if you came down and spoke it audibly to us or wrote it with your own hand. Father, I pray that you would take this word, your Holy Spirit would come and fill this place, stir the hearts of the hearers, and that Christ be seen, and that this man behind the pulpit be hidden. For it is your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing for God's word. I've titled this message, God's Blueprint for a Spirit-Filled Life. Notice I said Spirit-Filled. Because there's a difference between the Spirit filling and the Spirit indwelling. Everybody that is born again, that is saved, is a Spirit indwelled Christian. The Holy Spirit cannot leave you. There's a verse in Scripture that talks about that when we sin, that the Holy Spirit is a partaker. He is along for whatever ride I decide to choose, because he cannot leave me. That's something that blows my mind. When I choose not to sin, I don't want to not sin because I'll feel good. I don't want to not sin because I'll look good in the eyes of other people. I want to not sin now, because every sin that I choose not to commit is one less sin that Jesus Christ had to become, not just bear, but become for me on the cross. It's one less sin that grieves the Holy Spirit and or quenches the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at today God's blueprint. I once had a job as a carpenter, a carpenter's helper, because I wasn't much of a carpenter. I was barely a helper, but I was a carpenter's helper in Florida before the shuttle explosion that tanked the housing market. And I learned lots of things. And when I even built, we built some big commercial buildings too, and roofing and the metal studs. And you'd walk in, and they would have this blueprint, these blueprints. And some of them would be a big one that was so, all the details were so small. And then they had several other pages that were blown up, because they were so that you could see the details where everything went. And there was a place for everything. And in every project, whether a new construction or whether a renovation, it always included plans. It always included plans, and usually more than one. Our lives are like the construction of a building. Every day is something that you're doing to your life, and that God is the master builder. And we can hinder the carpenter. When I was a carpenter's helper, I could hinder the carpenter if I didn't pay attention to the details. If I just lazily did my job, half-heartedly did my job, or just did it because it was a job. That's the thing about me. When I was in the Marine Corps, it wasn't a job for me. It was something that I loved. I was an MP. I was a combat water safety survival instructor. That was a good job. And I was a drill instructor. It was one of my favorite jobs. I never could take my work home with me, but I could always take my home to work with me, because I got to yell at recruits. I got to push them, trying to break their spirit, their will, but not their spirit. So, What about this lives that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, I have laid the foundation for preaching, foundation. He's talking about preaching Christ. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. That's talking about in a church. He's talking about, Paul says, I've preached the gospel to you. He says, and every man that comes in after me is going to build on the foundation that I've laid, which is Christ and Him crucified. And he says, but I'm telling you, let every man who stands behind this pulpit take heed how you build thereon, because this is the body of Christ.
Amen.
And the foundation of this church is Jesus Christ. And I better, see, this is what people sometimes, when you come to church and you have a preacher or a pastor, you realize you're not accountable really much for anything except being here and hearing God's word and being obedient. But I have to be obedient too, because I'm a hearer, just like you are. Number one, but number two, I'm responsible for what I feed you. I better take heed to how I build and how I feed you. Whether I'm a one-time speaker or whether I'm a seven speaker or whether I ever become a pastor someday, I better take heed. One of the reasons why I went into pulpit supply was because I was an interim pastor up in Barstow one time, and they were getting a guest speaker here and there. And when I preached, they said, man, he says, we've been getting sermonettes, we've been getting testimonies, we've been getting devotionals. He says, but the you never know what you're going to get. Well, bless God, when a preacher comes to preach at a church, the food is the same. It's the Word of God. And the only difference might change is how I prepare it. I'm going to preach like no one you've probably ever heard before. And those of you that were here for Sunday school know it. Because if you notice, I turned the microphone that way. I don't need it. And if I get excited, I don't dial it down. It just happens. But I'll tell you something. It's not the Word of God. I'll never understand everything in this book. But it shouldn't be too hard not to get the recipe right, because it's right here. And I need to take heed how I build upon it. So when I say the blueprints, what is the blueprints? What is this blueprint that tells me or shows me how I can live not just a spirit-indwelled life, but I can have a spirit-filled life? And first of all, we look into, we have to understand one thing. The very first thing you got to understand is God is the builder. God is the builder. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and then we drop down also to verse 27. But Genesis 1:1, we know that very verse, it says, in the beginning, who?
God.
In the beginning, God. And then it says in verse 27, so God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And I wasn't going to read that whole verse, because I told the people this morning, I'm a hunter, and I was a five-time award expert with an M16, and if I see a rabbit, sometimes I have a tendency to want to go hunt that rabbit, and I'll try to shoot him as quickly as possible so I can get back on the hunting trail. But, so, God created man in his image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Let me add right here, God does not make any mistakes as to what he made you here today. I don't care what people in the world are trying to say, well, this person identifies with this, or this person identifies with that gender. No, God doesn't make mistakes. God is the builder. He chose me to be a man. No matter what I think, I will never cease to be a man. And in this day and age, saying that right now, you all don't necessarily have to be afraid. Do you realize I do? Because that can be considered hate speech today. No, it's not. It's the Word of God, and God doesn't hate anything but sin. He doesn't hate people, and I don't hate people. I love people. It just rocks my world in my head how people could sit there. You know, it didn't blow my world, but it kind of disrupted me a little bit to find that somebody as a boy that I looked up to decides to spend money and go from being Bruce to being somebody else who I will never call that name. I will call him Bruce. I looked up to that young man. When I was a little boy, I was a cross-country runner in high school, and I ran in the Marine Corps. I looked up to some sports people. And it's so sad when we see what happens today because they don't recognize that God is the builder. Isaiah 64:8 says, "Thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art the potter, we are all the work of thy hand." And in 2 Timothy 2:20, vessels of gold and silver were in the house, wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. God still makes the vessel. I don't make the vessel, but I can sure make it honorable or dishonorable. Because God doesn't force his will on my life. So I have to recognize that God is the builder. And when I got saved, Paul says in Philippians 1:6, "He that hath begun a good work." Who's the he? God. When I opened my heart to Jesus and he. Now here's the thing I wish somebody would have made clear to me. People quote the verse, "The old things are passed away, behold all things become new." But they misquote it like I just did. That word are, that verb are, "behold all things are become new," is a future reoccurring present tense verb that is always present tense. Are becoming new. It's not that, yeah, everything is, oh, you're done. Because the first time I sinned after I was a Christian, it rocked my, no, I'm a new creation. Old things are gone. Everything's supposed to be new. And it took 10 years for me to understand that everything are becoming new. God is the builder. I need to make sure that I let him work and make things continually new in my life. Second thing is, Christ is the foundation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, "For no other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, that which is laid is Jesus Christ." The foundation is Christ, period. Plain and simple, nothing else goes there to build upon in the life of a believer. Nothing else is supposed to go upon there in the life of any person. God intended for every, it was God's will for all to become saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But we know that not all will. I'm not even going to get into election and foreknowledge because that'll be rabbits that'll never be hunted for a while. Christ is the foundation. Matthew 21:42 rejected. The Bible says that Jesus was the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Cornerstone is important. I don't know if you know how big. Are you listening? Cornerstone is important. It's the, you know, back, especially in the old construction days, that cornerstone was that corner was the bearing part of the building. The cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone of the foundation. Ephesians 5:23, "He's the head of the church and savior of the body." He's the cornerstone and he's the head of the church, the savior of the body. Colossians chapter, back in Colossians, but go to chapter 1. This is something that people seem to forget. The world has definitely forgotten it. But in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 19, "Who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell." Jesus is supposed to have first place in all things. Amen. He's preeminent. After all, God said, Paul says that God, it pleased God that in him should all the fullness, that is the fullness of the Godhead, dwell. He was every bit God and every bit man. Not 50-50. He was all God and all man. Because only 100% God and 100% man, only 100% man could take the hand of a wicked sinner like David Pooler, take his hand, and only the 100% God could be holy enough to take the hand of the Father and say, there, you're joined and reconciled together. Not 50-50. He gets the preeminence in all things. So God is the builder. Christ is the foundation. So what else is part of the blueprints of a spirit-filled life? Well, we see here in Colossians in our text chapter, a lot of putting off and putting off and putting off. And then you have to put on and put on and put on the new things. And in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. Or, I like to say it better, love. Put on, above all these things, put on love. Why? Because it is the bond of perfectness. If you asked this question, you could do a test, and you're out and about. Ask somebody who you know is a believer, and say, what are the marks of a child of God? Well, what's, give the identifying mark. You're going to get, well, reads his Bible, his or her Bible, prays, is faithful in church. You might even say is obedient in tithing. I won't even get on that because there are some churches today that believe in grace giving. I preached a message on grace giving one time, and the church all of a sudden liked 10% because I believe grace giving is giving it all. Because our examples of grace giving are Jesus and the first church at Jerusalem. And you know what? They gave it all. They went and sold everything they had and brought all the money to the apostles. And how much did Jesus give? He gave it all. Why? Because of grace. So I kind of like grace giving, and the people got quiet. I said, so let's try grace giving for a month. And I said, oh, all of a sudden 10% doesn't sound so bad now. One dime out of a dollar doesn't sound so bad. So we see that love is the bond. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you are to love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind, and love the neighbor as thyself. And on those two commandments hang the law. But because he knew that Christians probably were going to be kind of needed to have things simplified, as I said this morning, I like to break things down into crayon language. And I was telling the ladies over here, if I was preaching just to ladies, I'd say I'd break it down into chocolate candy language. So everybody can get a piece. Jesus made it even simple. He told the disciples, he said, by this shall the world know that you are my disciples. How? That you love one another. And we can't even get that right. Because how many churches today are not exuding love? Forget the brethren outside. Let's just deal with the family right here. Y'all are family. You know each other. I don't like my brother very often sometimes. But I love him. I love my sister. I love my cousins. I love my family. Even if I don't like them or like what they do. Because they're love is the bond. Love is it generates unity among the brethren. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see verses 1 to 3. If I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, and with lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's that love being the bond, and it also generates peace. If I love my brothers and sisters, even if I don't like them all the time, then I'm going to have a bond that, especially with the Holy Spirit, because that means he's in control, then I'm going to have peace. Because when I pillow my head at night, I'm going to know that I don't, because you know what the Bible says that hatred is? It's likened unto murder. Just saying, it's not me, it's what God said. So it generates unity among the brethren, forbearing one another and keeping the unity of the Spirit of God. And then it also generates forgiveness in 1 Peter 4:8. If you look at 1 Peter 4:8, you're going to see the why love is such a bond and why it's so important. And what it does, it says, and above all things, again, there's the word above all things, have fervent love or charity among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. You want to deal? I want to deal with my brother, my earthly brother's indiscretions, if you will. Love him. Love covers a multitude of sins. When I am an idiot, my wife still loves me because it covers a multitude of sins. Because I'm not perfect. I am by far the best husband, the most perfect husband, but I love my wife. And she loves me. And I love the fact that today, you know what I got my wife for Valentine's Day? And you men are going to be jealous of me. You know what made my wife happy? I bought her a 6-pack of paper towels. And I wrote Happy Valentine's Day when I gave it to her. Because my wife loves the simple things. We were it's all about 7 years ago when she got disabled, retired from Verizon. She was having a bad day one day at work, and I had to pick her up. And I pulled into the Chevron up in Victorville, and she was facing the window to the lady in the thing, and in the store. And I walked in, I looked at the car, and I walked down, and I grabbed a paper towel, kind of walked back with it like this. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm about to make my wife happy. You see that lady out there?" And she said, "Yeah, she looks like she had a bad day. She won't after she gets this." And she said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "Watch." Paid for the paper towels, walked out there, and I had them behind my back, and I gave her, I had a soda that I put in my thing. I went to get the gas, and I looked, I went over to her window, and I knocked on the window, and I looked at the lady, and I went like this, and my wife went, she smiled and almost had a tear in her eye. She loves the simple things. And that love, if it's Christ-like, covers a multitude of sins. Doesn't give you the right to sin, but it gives you the peace and the unity that when you do, it's covered. What do you think covers the sin before the eyes of God? It's love. It's love. God does not see wicked David. God sees, oh, there's my son. And he's got the righteousness of Christ on him. Woo! I love him. And he doesn't forget my sins. He says that, do you think God is really that forgetful? God's omniscient. But his forgetting is not like yours and mine. His forgetting isn't that he really forgets, but that he never brings it up, which is a type of forgetting. That's God's forgetting, is I promise never to bring it up. Because if I went and said, "Lord, I did again. Remember what I did 3 years ago?" God's not going to go, "No, I don't remember that." Because he does. But he says, "Well, David, why are you bringing it up? I promised that I would never, so why are you?" That's God's forgetting. That's his love that covers a multitude of sins. So God is the builder. Christ is the foundation. And that love is the bond. Love is the nails, the glue, the cement, the shingles, the everything that holds the paint, the plaster, that holds it all together. And then what else is part of the blueprint? God's peace rules your heart. God's peace rules your heart. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God, after all of those things, put on, and then let love be the bond, after all those things," it says, let the peace of God rule your hearts. I don't want to scare you, but everybody, some of you might think, how long can he keep that voice up and not go hoarse? Quite a long time. Because, you know, I yelled at recruits every day for 3 months at a time. Do you know how many times I lost my voice in 3 months?
one time a month, one time a cycle, for one day.
And because my voice was so strong because of my hearing problem as a kid, I couldn't hear. If you press up against the back of your ears and press in, your voice will echo like this in my head. So I couldn't hear myself. So because of my tonsils. So you know what I thought? I can't hear myself. I need to talk louder because I'll bet nobody else can hear me. So I started talking like this at the age of 4. And then my tonsils were taken out at the age of 6. And nobody corrected me for 5 years. Your vocal cords are like any other muscle in the body. If you work them out, they'll get stronger. So I don't be afraid of my losing my voice. Well, maybe some of you are thinking, I wish he would. No, you don't, because how many of you ever heard a drill instructor? You heard them? You know that voice that they use? You know what happens when your voice is hoarse and you don't have the luxury of saying, can't talk today, so I'm going to preach to you as best I can, but we don't have the luxury, so if you take and you push that voice, this is what comes out, and you don't want that because that is scary. That's the drill instructor voice that every recruit, if I went down to San Diego right today, and they knew I was a drill instructor, one of the first two questions, do the voice, and they think they teach it to you. No, they don't. So the peace of God, so I'll be able to finish the message, you know, Lord willing. But then you said the peace of God rules your heart in the whole body, the whole church. 3:15 says here, which is the peace of God rule your hearts, which you are called into one body. Primarily, that's talking that we can have peace among the brethren and sisterin. We always say that. No, we always say brethren and sisters. Well, I saw him and said, you know what? Hey, I said, Pastor, I said, what if I said brethren and sistering? Cistern is something that you put water in, but we'll make sure we pronounce it sistering so that we don't look like it's like I'm calling them a cistern. But we don't do that. Well, why? We're all brethren here, you know, but then you're my sister. So why do I say brethren and ladies or brethren and sisters? I could say sistering. I like that word. I just made it up. So I'm not adding to the word of God, by the way. But Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So you want to build this house, you want this house to be spirit-filled, then you recognize the builder, you recognize the foundation, and you recognize that love is the bond that holds it all together, that is the glue, that's the fabric of life, if you will. Cotton is not the fabric of life, it's love. Love is it. Because love covers the multitude of sins. And then if you love one another, and if we love even the lost people, then we can love the people, and it covers our sin to each other. But it doesn't mean that I have to condone your sin. I hate that when I went and told another brother of mine that I went to Bible college with, he was going to the Bible college, and he put on his Facebook page, which I happen to see because we're friends, and it says, and he was on a Friday night with some of his friends, and it says. Pizza, friends, and beer. What a great way for a Friday night. And I texted, I put a message to him back. I said, please tell me that part of that is a joke. A bad joke, but a joke, please. And he goes, no, the Bible doesn't say that drinking is a sin. I said, but so we got into this long discussion. And then he inevitably went to this thing that all Christians do, and even lost people. Don't judge me. Trust me. If I were part of this church, it may not be your job. It's not your job to judge me. Judge, which means to pass a sentence and condemn. But it is your job to judge my fruit.
There you go.
Amen.
Because if you saw me today go out to a restaurant and I happen to say a few because somebody did something wrong, like somebody hit my car today, I'll have to say it's my fault now. In hindsight, I say it was my fault, but thank God it didn't damage the other car. Thank you, God, that you only damaged your car. But
I was grateful that I didn't. But imagine if you had, if my windows rolled down and it was on the corner of Nolan and whatever street that is that down the, that I got off the freeway on. I know how to get out of here. I can find my way around. I have OnStar. Thank you for that. But I also wondered why OnStar didn't call me, because the last time I had a pothole, OnStar called me and said, we registered an impact. Are you okay? They didn't call me this time, and I registered an impact. But I didn't say, but if you had driven by that wreck, and I had gotten out of the car and said, what do you think you're... And I said some things that, like I said to the people this morning, I used filthy communication. I'm not going to say said bad words or foul language, because God calls it filthy communication. So, what would you think? And then all of a sudden, I come walking through the door, and I'm the preacher. If it doesn't show on your faces, it's going to show on my face. You know what? I've lost all credibility. But that doesn't mean I'm... How do I say this? It's when you... Love covers a multitude of sins. You have to understand that if people are human, they're humans. And we but it doesn't excuse it. But the thing is love covers a multitude of sins, and the peace of God rules your hearts and minds in the body. But you are to judge my fruit. You are to inspect it. And there's nothing wrong with to say, brother, you got a bad apple. Hey, don't judge me. No, brother, I'm not judging you, because judging you would require that I pass sentence on you. That's God's job to do that and convict you. But I think he wants me to bring it out to you, to point it out, that you've got a bad apple there. If especially, and whether it's one time or a bunch of times, you need to let me know it. That's what preaching the word of God does. I'm using God's word to point out to you and to me, because guess what? I are a hearer of the word of God when I preach.
Hey.
And you know something? There's been times when I've preached and right in the middle of the sermon, I've got, folks, I need to confess something. And I'll do it. I'm transparent. I don't have to go into details, but I'll tell certain things that I've done or that God just convicted me of, so that they know that I'm not just up here being a mouthpiece and spitting out words that direction, but those words are still coming in here. And that the Holy Spirit of God still says, David, did you just hear what you preached to that body? Did you hear it? Yeah, I did. You know what? This isn't the first time I've heard it, because I had to hear it when I went and wrote it down, and I hear it as I study the Word of God, and I heard it again when I typed it out, and I heard it again when I shared it with my wife. Honey, listen to this. And that hurt. Peace of God rules in your heart. Perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3 calls it. Not according to the world. Peace, Jesus said, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth peace, but that God comes from. The peace that when your world is rocked, when somebody asked me today, well, what if God took one of your grandchildren or one of your children? You know what? It would hurt. But I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, don't ever let me forget. If you have to even slap me in the face and say, remember, David, that you still have joy and God is still on the throne and you still have God's peace, even if a loved one such as my dear grandchild is taken from me. Because she doesn't belong to my daughter, and she doesn't belong to me. She belongs to God. And God can do whatever he wants, whether I like it or not. That's what comes, whether you like it or not. I'm going to use myself first, but then whether you like it or not, God can do, because he made everything. Amen. And he's the preeminent one. Who am I? People say, well, how could God do this? How could God let bad things happen to good people? Well, first of all, he doesn't. And second of all, I don't care. My job isn't to question, Lord, why did you cause, well, you didn't do it, but why did you let dollars of damage happen to your car? It's not my job. But I did ask it. I'm thinking, Lord, sorry. I said, that's not right of me to question you, but thank you, number one. I thanked him that I didn't say anything bad. Thank him that I didn't even think it, thank God. And I didn't let it ruin, because Satan wanted me not to preach today. The car is drivable. I was still able to be here, not call and say, guess what, I can't be there.
Amen.
And I
I still get to go home, Lord willing, tonight. God is the builder. Christ is the foundation. God's love is the bond. His peace rules the heart. Remember, I cross-referenced John 14:1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Stop right there. Don't even say the rest of the verse. Oh, you can say believe and also me, Jesus said. But when I say that, it just says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. If he's the builder, he's the creator, he's the almighty one, you believe in him, then let not your heart be troubled. And Jesus said, if you need any more assurance, believe thou also in me, Jesus said. Because I are God too. That's what he's saying. I love the Trinity. I think it's the greatest thing. And it's to me, when I was 15, it was super hard to comprehend. And I still don't comprehend it now. But it's a whole lot simpler now. One God, three distinct persons. The Holy Spirit is not an it, he is a person. Nextly, God's word richly dwells in you. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. If you are recognizing the builder and the foundation and love is the bond and the peace of God rules your heart, the word of God's got to richly dwell in you. In order for all that to stay together too, the word of God richly dwells in you. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God is living and powerful, and it's profitable for everything. It's given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for everything. I believe there is not a single circumstance that you and I can face today that the word of God doesn't have the answer for. Israel in the wilderness, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says they were given for our ensamples. I like that word, ensamples. It's a big old Bible word for example. But I like ensamples. Speaking of that, because my granddaughter, when she was first learning to talk, we would go into a Target out in Apple Valley, and sometimes they would have samples of meat or whatever up on the deli. And I'd say, oh, I said, Madison, we get to have samples. So every time we go into Target, she would say, can we have some samples? She didn't say, she'd say samples. And I said, yes, we can have samples. And so in samples, I like it better than examples. And samples, given for our benefit to learn from. Israel in the wilderness, and the word of God dwells in us richly so that we can read it. And you know what? Reading it is just as if, matter of fact, it's better than if you had gotten an eyewitness to come right here in this church to say, I was there at the Red Sea crossing. This is a more sure word of prophecy than even that. Because it's the written word of God. It's as if God came in and said, oh, by the way, the Red Sea crossing, God says, I did that. It's right here. The word of God, and if it dwells in us richly, then we'll have a light unto our path. And then it also says that thy word is a light unto my path. And then it goes on to say that it is a lamp, or a lamp unto my feet. And if I'm lamping my feet up, but it's also a light unto the path as I walk. The word of God dwelling in me richly, that I might not sin against thee. As I said before, it's the word of God that I want to keep me from sinning so that I have one less sin that Jesus had to bear or become for me on the cross. And lastly, God's glory is the goal. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. My goal for a spirit-filled life isn't so that somebody can say, boy, isn't he godly. No, I want people to say, especially I like it when people know me, because then somebody can come up and say, boy, look what kind of God he has. That even though he's done this and this before he got saved and this after he got saved, God still can use him. God's glory is the goal. As one church, it says Romans 15:16, with one mind and with one mouth glorify God. Individually, Colossians 3:17, that whatsoever ye do, individually and collectively, do all to the glory of God. In suffering for Christ, 1 Peter 4:16, we read that the glory of God is sometimes from suffering. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, I don't have to be thankful for what's happening, but I better be thankful in what's happening. Give thanks in all things. In all things, give thanks. I don't have to say, well, bless God, I got a whatever damage out there. No, but I can still say, bless God that I still made it here. Bless God that I still have four wheels on my car. Bless God that I didn't wreck. And bless God, no damage was done to the other person's vehicle, which would have cost me a lot more money. So I have things to be thankful for and to have joy. I was telling him today, Brother David today, that don't ask God to make you happy. Ask God to give you joy. I had a lady one time, I did something, I can't remember, I had a cut on my toe or I had to take the toenail off my big toe, and I think that was something that was pain. I had some things not to be happy about, but I was whistling inside a Target, and I was humming a tune, and I think it was Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full Into His Love. I was just humming that, and she says, boy, you sound happy today, and I said, no, I'm not. And she looked at me with the weirdest look on her face, and she goes, and I said, but I have joy. And she said, what's the difference? And I said, oh, I said, you know what? I said, I'm a preacher. Thank you for asking. Because I got to tell her the Greek word for happiness was for the word happenings. And happenings affects my happiness, what's going on in my life. But nothing can take my joy away unless I give it away. So the heathen will glorify God. 1 Peter 2:12. It says, and we're nearing the end here. We're getting to the end of the trail. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak evil, they may speak against you as evildoers, but they may by your good works, which shall behold, glorify God
in the day of visitation.
They may be able to say all they want about me, but they can't say anything bad about my God if I'm living right. I don't discredit God. Why do we need to do all this? Why do we need to have a spirit life? Because for we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'll close with the construction of anything is spiritual success is mentioned in all these building blocks that talks about to be a spirit-filled life and to construct a spirit-filled life. But I will say this. Solomon wanted to build a temple for God one time, and he said, Lord, I want to build a temple. And God said, wherewith all shall you build a temple for me? He was basically, in layman's terms, saying, how are you going to build a temple for me? And now, if Solomon were to answer back, well, Lord, I'm going to go get some gopher wood. I made that gopher wood. And I'm going to take, and we're going to have a table of showbread. I made all the stuff. And we're going to use the fabric, the goat's hair, and the camel skins. And I made all that. What of yours are you going to use to build me a temple? Everything that you're going to use, I made and belongs to me. So, David, I came here to preach not my word, but God's word. Because the message that I wrote on this paper, God made the stuff that made the paper. God made the words that gave me the ideas. God, it came from his book. He wrote it. God gave me the body to be up here. God gave me the voice to use. So wherewithal am I going to preach a message for God? It's God that preaches the message. And I hope, it's my hope and prayer that today you'll get and understand that that it's different between having a spirit filled and just being spirit indwelled, and take into account the building blocks of a spirit filled life. Would you stand with me as we pray in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your message. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your grace, because I think That is the most important thing to be thankful for, because it's by grace that we have everything else. Love, salvation, mercy, everything else we have because of your grace. I pray that this message has found its way into the hearts of people here today. And if there is anyone here that's never trusted in Jesus as their Savior, never been a whosoever and called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, that they would. And if people here today are all believers, then praise God that we would all, as believers, take your word and allow you to build and build upon the foundation that is Jesus Christ, so we can have a spirit-filled life. Put your hand upon this invitation, and that people will come and do business with God as you lead them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
491. 491. Just ask you that you may help us to spend time in it, Lord. Help it to resonate in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, and help us to use it, Lord, to further thy kingdom. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've had today. Lord, it's been so good to be in your house, Lord, to hear your word preached in spirit and in truth. Lord, just be with us as we leave today, Lord, and help us come back again tonight, Lord, to sharing your word again. And we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Those of you that want to know about tonight, you don't want to miss tonight, because I'm going to tell you biblically why it's called supper, not dinner. Biblically.
Right.
There.
Supper.
Huh?
Supper 5.
Beautiful. Good speech.